Hi, everyone. I'm Eleanor, and you're listening to Sweet Deviation, the podcast designed to help you navigate, organize, and get creative while living with ADD. In each episode, I'll share personal stories, tricks, and insights that I've used to break through daily challenges. And together, we will lean into the diagnosis and stop fighting our natural tendencies. Welcome to episode 4. Today we're going to be taking a little trip on the road to distraction. The road to distraction is a ever-winding and zigzaggy road that I often travel. And you've probably been there too. It's okay to admit that you've got some miles on this road, such as life with ADD. And though it's well-traveled, it does help to carry a map and have an idea of where you'd like to arrive. We won't always get there directly, but we'll at least have an idea of the goal that we're at. So if there is something in particular, a task that you have in mind that you want to accomplish, I would suggest that you start to kind of weed that out. That's not what this episode is about. We'll cover how to get to refining a goal in later episodes. But today I just wanted to give a quick little checklist of things that you can do if you find yourself stuck and kind of wandering, lost. You know, that the quote says, all those who wander are not lost. And though I love that quote, sometimes I'm just lost. That's okay. But what I have found is that if I can keep things kind of structured, I'm able to get myself back on course a little faster. So last episode, we talked about coping cards, and today we're just going to call them compass cards. And they're essentially the same thing. These are things and tools that you can use when you find yourself stuck and or procrastinating, which is one of our key, that's our jam. We love to procrastinate. And I know I'm talking in kind of generalities, but this is true for everybody I know who has ADD and from, you know, countless books that I've read that describe our affliction. So I want to talk about how you can get yourself back in check to get yourself, you know, kind of back on the road and have a clear focus of where you're headed. So number one is to know what your goal is. You know, you might want to launch a new product or create a new widget and find a way to mass produce it to make $1 million. Only you know where you're headed, and your goal doesn't have to be like anybody else's. Number two, do you have a clear path to your goal? Now, I suggest you keep an idea notebook to track inspiration and ideas on the spot. And I've learned that I use one notebook, just one. And that's where everything goes. In the morning, if I doodle, it goes in that notebook. If I have an idea of a new podcast I'm thinking about, it goes in the notebook. If I come across an awesome recipe for tamales, it goes into that notebook. And what I find is that when we're in a pinch and Jim asks, like, hey, can you make the dough like you did the last time? Because that was amazing. I don't have to panic. Like, where did I put that little scrap of paper? I know exactly where I put it because it's going to be in my idea book. And once that idea book is filled, you can keep it or sift through it and find the things that matter and then reorganize those. But that comes later. The idea for number two is just keep an idea book. It'll help you from having to search through a million papers to find that old piece of gum wrapper that you wrote your $1 million idea on. So, one notebook. Okay, number three, is what you're doing right now getting you closer to your goals? Now, for the moment, the short answer is yes, because this podcast will help you figure out where you're going to go and how to get there. So, carry on. Number four, bliss is found in the less, not more. Is there something that you need less of? This may be less TV, less Twitter, less booze, in my case, less clutter, etc. It's important to label those things that don't really get us to our goals and write them down and be brutal. And you don't need to decide that you're going to get rid of it all, but you at least should acknowledge it. So for instance, you probably don't need to crush any more candy today, okay? So do you need more inspiration? Remember, this is like a marble slab. What's waiting inside the Statue of David? You know, Michelangelo didn't create it by adding more stone. He did it by removing that stone, and then you have this magnificent work of art. So that's what we're aiming for here. Try to find the things that you don't need or that don't serve you or don't get you to your goal and get those things out of the way so that you can stop having those detours. Okay, number five. Number 5, what is the one thing that you can do right now to get you closer to your goal? And this is one of those fun cards for me because sometimes I'll get stuck and I know what I have to do, but I'll put it off. Like I'll pay that bill later, or it's been in the, you know, it's kept me up a couple of nights and I really should do X, Y, or Z. And if I just set a timer for myself and say, I've got 15 minutes to get this task done. Maybe it's cancel your subscription to some stupid email that you have to delete every day. Or in some cases, I get 10 emails a day. Like, why do I continue to waste my time? Unsubscribe, be done. It's one less thing you have to worry about. The other thing might be you just haven't done laundry in a week. Go toss the load in and then come on back so that you can hear about number 6. Number 6, set a timer to do the top things on your to-do list. So I said a second ago, set a timer. I live by the timer. I learned this trick when I was teaching kindergarten. It was the only way that I could get my kids to organize themselves. I felt like it was fair to say, this is a task that we're on now, and you have X minutes to do it. And when you hear the bell, then you know that we're going to prepare to move to the next section. And of course it was kindergarten. So basically we were going from leave the dollhouse and now you've got to go play with your math blocks. But it worked. It worked for them. And I saw it. And that's how I first started to use it. And then I learned about the Pomodoro method. And if you're not familiar, I won't get into the details of it here, but I'll just give you enough information because I don't want this to become a distraction either. Don't go look for it now. I'll give you the information later. But the Pomodoro method is basically, it's Italian for tomato. And you're probably too young. Maybe I'm too young. But I remember my mom had a tomato timer. And the idea is that you click the timer and it just tick, 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 ticks until it has a little buzz and then you pull your lasagna out of the oven or whatever. So this Pomodoro method has you work in 25 minute units of time. And they have the science behind it that says that you're most focused in 25 minute increments. And I used to do this in college. Like I know that I would get 25 really, really good focused minutes. And then I would start to kind of wane and daydream a little bit. So I would set my timer off. And then once that timer is clicking, it's ticking, it's going, that's my focus. There's nothing else. No phone calls, no friends coming over. There was just nothing but focus on the task at hand. And until the buzzer went off. And once it did, then you relax a little bit. You're able to kind of let your mind loosen up, maybe stretch a little bit, and then return to the task for another 25 minutes time. But in this case, it is important to schedule the most important tasks first. So don't put a timer for 25 minutes to, you know, I don't know, do something, you know, I don't even know because honestly, I crush candy. Like that's how lame I am. If I'm going to have a distraction, I'll crush candy. Or I do knit. So if I say 25 minutes first thing in the day to knit, that's not going to work because I could knit all day and make excuses for it. But 25 minutes of I've got to make an outline for the next podcast, that I should do. So 25 minutes of the most impactful tasks first. And because, like we said, your destination is different than anyone else's, those most important tasks will be different for you and they'll vary from day to day. I also suggest that you make your to-do list on a small index card. I, for years, had to-do lists. Like, I would have 3 or 4 to-do lists, and I'm guilty of adding stuff to the to-do list so that I could feel like I had accomplished something. Like, come on. I would even lie to myself. And what I found was when I started to write them on index cards, not post-it notes, not little pieces of paper. It's not the size. Well, the size does matter because you don't want to fill it up with a bunch of extraneous stuff to just make you feel productive. The index card is a good size for me to write down a manageable amount of things that I can do in a day of importance. And I also like that it's got a little bit of a weight to it, so I tend not to lose it. If I have a stack of papers, I can generally find the index card. It just kind of, you know, pops out at me. And if you have highlighted index cards or the bright yellow orange, maybe that helps you too. But for me, the size of the index card for my to-do list, my daily to-do list, this has nothing to do with goal planning. This is just my, what am I going to do today? Index cards is my favorite. So If you've done all these steps, then you are well on your way to getting clear and knowing what steps you have to take. And I allow for myself, as you know, I love to play. So the name of this podcast is Sweet Deviation, and I won't get into the why it's called that, but it works in the case of ADD because this is exactly how we wound up here. So I'm going to tell you the story. Jim and I had started playing some wine bars when we first met 10 years ago. We started doing some acoustic playing in little wine bars and such. And we were doing an open mic one night, and it started to become the habit that they would call us up and they would call Jim and Ellie, Ellie being short for Eleanor. So they would call Jim and Ellie up, and then that turned into, oh, Jelly's here tonight. And then it started to stick. And I thought, like, you know, I really don't want to be Jelly, right? So that evening, Jim and I were at home, and I was saying, like, let's come up with something kind of clever for our band name so that we can go in there and say, like, this is who we like to be called up as when you call us up to the stage. We don't want to be called Jelly. And we were coming up with some really ridiculous things. I can't even remember a single one of them. When my son walked in the door, and he was in high school then, and he said, hey, I just saw that if you go to Wikipedia, like, this is how you get your band name. I think he saw it on Facebook, in the early days of Facebook, that you go to Wikipedia and you do like a random search, and then whatever comes up is your band name. So we thought, what the hell, let's go ahead and try it. So we went on Wikipedia, and mean deviation came up, like in statistics, when you find the mean deviation. And by the way, I sucked at statistics in college. But I thought, okay, well, I'm going to play along to this game. Like, I didn't want him to feel like we thought his idea was dumb. His idea was awesome. So I thought, mean deviation, I don't think I like that, but I like sweet deviation. And the more we sat with it, I thought, you know, I do kind of like that. My life was not supposed to go like this. I had been going in a completely different direction the night that I met Jim. Like, he and I both, honestly, were like not even on the same path whatsoever. And it was at the 11th hour that he got the courage to come and talk to me, and he rescued me. I won't talk about this story now, but boy, did he ever rescued me. And he did, he rescued me. And it just seemed like it fit because now our lives were combined and we were raising, you know, we combined our households. And he was helping me raise my kids, and we were both kind of joined in this path together. And it was a sweet deviation. So it was kind of a romantic idea then. And then I didn't want to lose the name. So when we first opened our fiber business, I called it Sweet Deviation, and it never really made sense, but I didn't want to let go of the name because I had become attached to it. So we had Sweet Deviation Entertainment, we had the Sweet Deviation Farm and Farm Store, and none of it made sense in the beginning of why, during the pandemic, I felt like I got to get my life together. Like, it's just so, it doesn't make sense. I can't even explain it to someone. You know, they say that if you have an elevator pitch, that if you can't make it make sense within 30 seconds, then you've already lost your audience. I was losing myself. I had no idea what I was doing. My business was disjointed. I had the fiber. I had clay. We had workshops, and it was all fiber related. So a few months ago, Jim and I thought the business has been shuttered with the pandemic. So it's not been open for, gosh, since March, and it's December. So several months. And I'm not good at math. So we decided, since it was closed, that it would be a good time to kind of revamp everything. The year's been kind of nutty. We both got off of Facebook, and it just made sense that this was a time to start fresh. So we renamed the business, and that hasn't been launched yet, so I won't mention it now. But then I thought, once I was diagnosed with ADD, and truly, to be honest, you guys saw, you heard the first episode, that was the day I decided I was going to try to podcast. That was it. That's all it took. And then I found that I kind of liked it. So Jim got me the microphone, and here we are. So I decided that sweet deviation finally made sense. It's my ADD. It's my life has been a sweet deviation. I thought I was going one direction. I would just kind of get lost and off the road, right? I was off picking blue bonnets instead of making it out to my destination. So I'm not talking about anything that y'all haven't heard me say before, but my final, this is me wrapping back to number 7. So the final thing I wanted to say to you is, after you've done it, after you've made your list, after you've identified the goals, after you know what steps you have to take, set the timer, do it daily. Make sure that you cross that off. At the end of the day, when you look at that list, if there's something left on it, you need to set the timer, and you've got to do it, because that's the only way you get to push yourself to the next, you know, mile marker. So do that. And then 7, I do say that you should set some time to reward yourself. Give yourself that sweet deviation. Make time to find something that you do find enjoyable and pleasurable. And hopefully you're doing those things as part of your main goal, right? Why would you follow a goal that makes you miserable? But I'm talking about something that just brings you a great deal of peace. Set the timer for that. And allow yourself, say daily, I'm going to give myself 30 minutes to accomplish this thing that's important to me. And maybe it's learning an instrument. Maybe it's learning a language. Maybe it's playing, you know, video games. I don't know. But allow yourself that time to do that. And carry on. Stay on the track and enjoy that sweet deviation. I thank you again for joining me today, and I'm looking forward to next episode where I'll be talking about all the shiny things. So we'll see you in episode 5. Thanks again for joining me, and have a great day.